Welcome to Talk of the Town. I'm Sherry Gibson with you today, along with Dr. James Kolka, who is the Chief Physician Executive at FHN. And we're going to talk about heat-related illnesses and that type of thing today. Welcome to the program, Doctor.
Thank you very much.
Obviously we're thick into the middle of summer here, and we've had some really hot temperatures. So can you tell us about some of the heat-related illnesses that people experience?
Sure. Given the last couple of weeks with the very, very high temperatures, it's become much more of interest to a lot of people. And interestingly, I was listening to the radio on the way in, and Europe is in the middle of a very severe, up to 102 degrees. So when we have these very high temperatures, we see a range of heat-related illnesses that range for anywhere from dehydration to heat exhaustion to heat stroke. Dehydration, obviously, is not a huge issue. Heat-related or heat stroke could be a fatal disease. So do you want to then...
Well, dehydration happens to a lot of people, right?
Happens to a lot of people. And it's important that, when you're in hot temperatures or high humidity, that you maintain your hydration, especially if you're working hard, you're exercising. You got to make sure that you're sweating, that you're urinating. Those are all symptoms of dehydration. Now, when it gets more severe, it becomes heat exhaustion. Heat exhaustion typically is you may stop sweating. Sweating is one of the mechanisms that helps your body to cool itself. You may have nausea, you may have weakness, you may have muscle cramps. Those are all heat exhaustion type of symptoms. Again, the way to get to modify that is to drink a lot of fluids and then remove yourself from the very high temperatures. Try to get indoors, try to get to air conditioning.
But now, do you want to cool yourself off slowly? Does that make a difference?
No,
you don't want to jump
in.
You want
to cool yourself off as quickly as you can.
Oh, you do? Okay.
So, with heat exhaustion, if you can just get into an air-conditioned area and drink lots and lots of fluids, you're typically fine.
Now, when you talk about fluids, some fluids can actually work the opposite of hydrating you, can't they?
Well,
diuretics,
alcohol,
or,
yes. Yeah. It's interesting that everybody says a beer tastes so good when they're really thirsty. However, alcohol does something to the body which actually inhibits you from retaining fluids. It makes you, urinate more. So alcohol is not a rehydrating fluid. Water, any of the electrolytes, Gatorade, things like that are very good.
Okay. So then if you go past heat exhaustion and to a heat stroke, that becomes really serious, right?
Heat stroke is a life-threatening emergency, correct. So basically what happens is that the body, the mechanisms that help you to what they call thermoregulate or to maintain a normal temperature start to shut down. And that includes your ability to sweat, the thermoregulatory mechanisms in your brain tend not to work. And what happens is your temperature can rise even up to 106. Mm. So, when you have heat stroke, this is a life-threatening emergency. The person really needs to get out of the heat and be rapidly cooled. That means putting ice packs in the armpits, in the groin, really hydrating them up. Generally, anybody with heat stroke should be in the hospital or the emergency room. And the things that can happen, they'll typically be confused. They'll oftentimes stop sweating. You'll feel the hot skin. You'll feel the temperature. They will have muscle cramps, nausea, vomiting. So when they come into the emergency department, we get IVs started immediately. We cool them as quickly as we can. We have special things to do it, but in the ambulance, they'll put ice packs in their armpits, in their groin, and things like that. If they can drink, that's really great.
My dad had a heat stroke years ago, and I remember him saying, you know, he was very disoriented as far as anybody else was concerned, but he didn't realize he was disoriented. He was walking, you know, crooked. That's not the right term, but, you know, he was kind of staggering and couldn't really communicate well. But in his mind, he thought he was communicating. Is that normal?
That's part of the thing with, you know, being disoriented is that you lose your ability to judge and know what's going on. But that brings up an interesting point. That is, who is most vulnerable for these illnesses? So for these illnesses, the most vulnerable are the elderly, the very young, people with chronic diseases or debilitated, which is why, when we had the big heat emergency in Chicago, the mayor was asking everybody, please go check on elderly neighbors. Sometimes these people don't have air conditioning, and they don't have the ability to go to the cooling centers and things like that. So it's really important, you know, that you watch your relatives, especially the elderly, the chronically ill, and the very young. One of the things we do see, which is really kind of a tragedy, is oftentimes parents will leave kids in cars. Those cars can heat up to 110 degrees in the sun, inside in no time. In fact, there was a story on the radio where the lady got out and accidentally locked her keys inside the car. Then when she tried to get the kid out, she couldn't get into the car. And it took about 10 minutes or so for the police to arrive. And by the time they arrived, the kid was really hot. So it can happen very rapidly.
Once you have a heat stroke or some type of heat-related illness, are you more susceptible to having another one, or is there no correlation?
Not necessarily. But heat stroke can cause a lot of issues that they can permanently affect your body. It can affect your brain. It can affect your kidneys. There's something called, which is one of the most dangerous components, called rhabdomyolysis. So as the body temperature goes up very high, it tends to start to destroy the muscles and break down the muscles. And some proteins that are released when muscles break down, they ruin the kidney when they pass through the kidney. Then it can permanently damage your kidneys. You will begin, as you go into heat stroke, to have multiple organ failures. So your heart can be affected, your kidneys, your lungs. So there are some very permanent things that can happen as a result of having heat stroke.
When we hear the weather folks talk about the heat index, there's a calculation, I'm sure they take into account the actual temperature, the humidity, all those kind of things. Is that really the number that we should be concerned with, is what it feels like, not what the actual thermometer says?
Yeah, just like cold, you know, they calculate the index with the wind. With heat, it's more the humidity. So the heat's bad, but, you know, heat with a lot of humidity is really bad, because the humidity really prevents your body from cooling. It prevents the sweating from cooling, you know, our body down. And so when we have high heat and especially high humidity, those are really dangerous situations.
Is there a particular temperature that, like you say, well, if it's below 80, you can't get a heat stroke, or if it's, you know...
Not really. It's very individualized. I mean, they say overweight people are a bit more at risk. You know, it really has to do with the person and, you know, their ability to sweat, how physically fit they are. So it's very individualized. I mean, what one person can tolerate, sometimes you'll see these triathletes, they run in 80, 90 degree weather. Well, their bodies can tolerate that. Me, I'd probably be dead in about a half a mile. So,
well, that makes sense. I mean, everybody's different, yeah. And everybody's affected differently by certain circumstances. So that it seems logical that would be the case. So the best way to avoid having any type of a heat-related illness is what?
Well, just be aware of what's going on. When it's really hot, especially when it's really humid, you really should limit your activity outdoors. And, you know, if you are outdoors doing things, make sure you stay very hydrated. Stay very aware of what's going on. If you start getting nauseous, if you start feeling muscle cramps and things like that, get into the cool area and really hydrate yourself up.
And if any doubt, go to the emergency room, right?
Certainly, certainly.
You'd rather be safe than sorry, as we like to say. Doctor, is there information about these things that we've been talking about today? Is there information on the FHN website?
There is. There's information on the FHN website. You can call your primary care provider. They would be happy to discuss this with you. And also on the internet. You can go onto any kind of multitude of different websites, and they really lay stuff out very well. But please, if you have issues, call your doctor and discuss it with them.
Definitely. And the FHN website is fhn.org. So it's very simple. I know there's a lot of information available on there. Doctor, thank you for coming in. Some information that I think everybody kind of needs to be reminded of from time to time.
Certainly. Thank you very much.
Dr. James Kolka, who is the Chief Physician Executive with FHN today. You have been listening to Talk of the Town.